This is Beach Weekly. You're listening to Season 11, Episode 10 of Beach Weekly, a podcast created and produced by Long Beach State's student-run newspaper, The Daily 49er. It's Monday, October 23rd, and we're here with you on your walk to class, giving you the news you need to start your week. I'm your host, Leigh Madrigal. Keep listening to learn more about a tentative agreement for CSU employees, President Biden's visit to Israel, and more. Let's start with campus news. The California State University Employees Union reached a tentative agreement on October 11th with the CSU Chancellor's Office to implement a salary step program for employees. Salary steps are fixed yearly salary increases by a certain percentage. This is the first time in 30 years that CSU workers are getting a salary step structure. On October 11th, over 400 workers with the CSU Employees Union gathered outside of Brotman Hall on Long Beach State Campus to support negotiations by their bargaining team. Student workers also joined the rally in support of the CSU workers. On October 3rd, student workers gained the right to form their own union to advocate for better pay and working conditions, too. With the tentative agreement, union workers will get a 5% general salary increase effective July 1st, 2023, with full retroactive pay. They will get another 5% raise effective July 1st of 2024 and will then transition to steps on October 1st, 2025. The CSU agreed to this in exchange for the right to increase parking for employees. This agreement caps the parking increase at $48 over the three-year contract and is optional for campuses to carry out. The agreement is tentative because union workers still have to vote to approve it. The employees' union will hold Zoom meetings and in-person meetings as they progress towards an official approval. Since 1973, the Bob Murphy Access Center, also known as BMAC, has offered accommodations and support to students with disabilities. BMAC is celebrating 30 years of service to Long Beach State, having assisted over 14,000 students over the years. It's also the first center within the CSU system that is dedicated to assisting and accommodating students with disabilities. BMAC offers things like testing accommodations, note-taking assistance, private rooms for test-taking, and sign language interpreters. The center was formerly called Disabled Student Services and was renamed to the Bob Murphy Access Center in 2019. Bob Murphy was an alumnus of Long Beach State, where he earned his bachelor's degree in liberal arts in 1962. In 2017, he made a generous donation to the school so it could open a center designed specifically to support students with disabilities. On October 13th, five alumni were inducted into BMAC's Hall of Fame after being recognized for excelling in creating inclusive environments in their lives outside of Long Beach State. All five individuals were once students assisted by BMAC, and they implemented what they learned into their lives after graduation. They were acknowledged at a sold-out ceremony at the Horn Center. Students in need of accommodations can reach out to the Bob Murphy Access Center for resources and more information. Their office is located in room 110 of the Shakarian Student Success Center, and their email address is bmac@csulb.edu. Now, here's what's happening in Long Beach. The 39th annual Long Beach Marathon was last Sunday, October 15th, bringing in around 18,000 people to run 26.2 miles around the city. The starting line was at Shoreline Drive and began at 6 a.m. The marathon started downtown, went through Shoreline Village and Belmont Shore, then headed to Long Beach State for a loop around campus before returning to Ocean Boulevard for the finish. 23-year-old Riley Fick, who graduated from Long Beach State last spring, won the women's race with a time of 2 hours, 58 minutes, and 30 seconds. Jason Yang won the men's race with a time of 2 hours, 27 minutes, and 4 seconds. The California Commissioner of Labor's office issued the largest fine given to a hotel in state history after the Hyatt Regency in Long Beach allegedly violated California's right to recall law. The hotel is being asked to pay about $4.8 million. The right to recall law requires that hospitality businesses offer jobs that are the same or similar to jobs once held by workers laid off during the pandemic. The Hyatt Regency in Long Beach has been investigated since September 2022 after employees sent complaints to the State Labor Commissioner's office. State officials say that 25 people who were laid off by the hotel during the pandemic were never offered jobs when operations resumed. This comes during the Southern California hotel workers' strike, which began in July. Over 15,000 striking hotel workers are seeking a $5 per hour wage increase, family health care coverage, and better working conditions. Negotiations with hotels continue to stall, so the strike remains active. Moving on to national news. The U.S. government has reached a settlement with more than 5,000 migrant families who were separated at the southern border in 2017 and 2018 after the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy to border crossing. Under the zero tolerance policy, all adults who were apprehended for crossing the border illegally were prosecuted, with no exceptions for asylum seekers or people with minor children. This split thousands of families when previous administrations prosecuted illegal border crossings relatively infrequently. The settlement reached last Monday, October 16th, still needs to be approved by U.S. District Judge Dana M. Zabraw. It does not include any financial compensation for families, but it does set some rules that are advantageous to migrants. According to the settlement, the government will no longer be allowed to reenact a zero-tolerance policy for at least the next 8 years. It also states that families will gain access to benefits like work authorization, housing, and medical services. The youngest child separated from their family was 6 months old. Children were sent to juvenile centers while parents were deported. Over 1,000 children are still not reunited with their families over 5 years later. The settlement also requires that the government continues to identify families who are separated. A 6-year-old Palestinian-American boy was killed after being stabbed 26 times by his family's landlord on October 14th in Illinois. His mother was also stabbed at least a dozen times and sustained major injuries. They were allegedly targeted by their landlord because they are Muslim. The boy's funeral was last Monday, and his mother was unable to attend because of her injuries. The attack is being investigated by the Department of Justice as a hate crime. The family's landlord was charged with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, 2 counts of a hate crime, and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, according to the Will County Sheriff's Office. A court filing says that the attacker and his wife had a conversation about how he wanted the family to move out of the rental home. The filing stated that they, quote, believed that they were in danger and that the mother was going to call over her Palestinian friends or family to harm them, end quote. The attacker confronted her about the conflicts in the Middle East before stabbing her. She got away and hid in the bathroom but was unable to get her son. She called the police and her son was quickly transferred to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. A preliminary hearing for the incident is scheduled for October 30th. In worldwide news, President Biden visited Israel last Wednesday to support the country in war and guarantee America's allyship. In the 31-hour visit, Biden displayed America's solidarity with Israel with an initial embrace of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He also announced, quote, "I come to Israel with a single message, you are not alone. As long as the United States stands, and we will stand forever, we will not let you ever be alone," end quote. Biden also spoke with the Egyptian president, who agreed to open the Rafah gate to allow 20 trucks of humanitarian aid into Gaza. Additionally, Biden has announced $100 million in aid to Gaza and the West Bank. The president's trip to Israel included plans to meet with regional leaders in Amman, Jordan, but Arab leaders called off this meeting following the catastrophic explosion of a hospital in Gaza. According to Palestinian officials, the blast is said to have killed hundreds, with both sides blaming the other for the attack. Biden and top officials believe Israel is not responsible for the deadly explosion. Biden's return to the Oval Office has been marked with an immediate request for almost $106 billion from Congress. Of the $106 billion, only $14 billion is proposed to support Israel. The remaining $82 billion is for replenishing U.S. weapons in Ukraine and anti-fentanyl tracking task forces across the U.S.-Mexico border. There's also $10 billion dedicated to unspecified humanitarian efforts. Despite this war occurring overseas, we have been feeling the tensions, conflicting claims, and tragedies within our homes. We will continue to provide updates on the Israel-Hamas war. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening to this episode of Beach Weekly. And a special thank you to our editor, Julia Goldman, and our producers, Elle Nicklin and Aiden Swanepoel. As always, if you want to read up on some of the stories covered today, along with so much more, you can head over to our website, daily49er.com. And to make sure you're up to date with everything that happens on the Long Beach State campus, you can follow our socials at Daily 49er. We appreciate you listening, and you'll hear from me again next week.